great to be here as always. Thanks for having me.
No, it's great to have you with us. All right. So, James Conner is a Cardinal. No surprise he's not a Steeler. Your thoughts on the fit with Arizona?
I think we saw enough of James Conner over the years to see that he can be reasonably effective on three downs. That isn't to say he's going to be a Le'Veon Bell in 2014 level receiver, but he can block fairly well. He can catch passes. He can play in the open field. Getting on the field in the first place has been primary concerns one through five with Conner. And I think the fact that he had an injury in the offseason on a four-wheeler only suggests that's really a continued issue for him. But it's a one-year contract. I kind of figured that that's the type of market that he was going to get for a team that doesn't necessarily look to run the ball all the time. But in the game of football where you need to still be able to pick up short yardage in tight, he's the type of guy that can give you options, whatever down and distance. He can be a valuable player. That said, he might not even make the team. I think, if anything, the signing of Conner would suggest that the team is looking to address the running back position early. He's the kind of guy that can spell a feature back, which you kind of think that's what a team like the Cardinals would be doing if they drafted a player in the first or second round. Not a player who can and should come in and expect to get 23 touches a game. Conner is probably more of a 6 to 7 touch kind of guy. That's a fit in my mind. And it just really kind of depends on any type of incentives they might have given him in this contract. I don't know the full extent of the deal that he signed. But I think it's a decent fit for his makeup, for what we know of it, all assuming that he's healthy. And I'm giving an educated guess that they probably are going to address the running back position, and that rookie would be a player who would get the ball by design more than Conner would. He would fit in well in that kind of an environment, and I think that's what they're going to do, which, oddly enough, I think the Steelers are going to do. But Conner's not the guy that they want backing up a rookie, largely because, you know, Conner has kind of shown them, and their medical people certainly know, he's had a tough time staying on the field. So they would need somebody anyway, and they don't want to pay a veteran to do that. Their current running back room largely suggests that they don't want to pay anybody to do it. So what they have now is what they're going to have to go with. But Arizona gets a good player. If they need Conner to run one game of 20 carries, I think he'll do fairly well. We've seen him do that in Pittsburgh. And he's a good player. He's a good locker room guy. He's well-liked by his teammates. And I think he'll do well.
All right. So now let's get to the Steelers part of it. Anybody who makes the league has to be really good. So we'll establish that. But there is now, within the context of the league, you can then be, quote, just another guy. And you and I have talked about this before, Neil, that the Steelers running back room after Conner had a bunch of guys that are, in the league's context, just another guy. Benny Snell's just another guy. Samuels is just another guy. McFarland's just another guy. So does the thought process for the Steelers, can it lean running back in the first round when they finally drafted a couple weeks?
I think, and I'm taking shelter when I say this, but I think yes. I think, if anything, their moves are largely suggesting they have a pretty solid plan of what they want to do in the first round. If we were to look historically over position, age to some extent, school, you look at all of these things, running back is not off the board for them the way that other teams might feel that it is. Most of the people saying you can get a good running back in other rounds, well, the Steelers can't. In case you haven't noticed, they wouldn't be looking at all for a running back in the first round if they ever drafted anybody who wasn't a Jag, just another guy. Just a guy is usually what I hear. And that's you know, a fair comparison for what they have in their running back room right now. It wouldn't be a situation where James Conner was head and shoulders better than everybody else that they had. They need to get a stud. They need to get a guy that they can rely on to play three downs, to play consistently. And that doesn't mean that you have to return to, you know, Jerome Bettis power running, power trap style football. It just means that they need to get a guy that they can count on who can gain more than 3.5 yards, which I believe is collectively what that room averages. certainly it goes down when you add Balazs in there, a player that doesn't make any sense at all for anybody. If anything, putting Balazs in there only proves that they're going to draft a running back high. I think that's what they're going to do. That would be my guess if I was sitting here today. I can see why that might be wrong, but I'll tell you this. If they don't in the first, they absolutely will in the second. They're not going to go into the third round for a running back. They don't have one. There's not one out there on the market who can be justified to have a higher salary than what they have right now. They need to be able to run the ball better. There are protection issues, there are scheme issues, and there are personnel issues. They don't have a running back who can reasonably carry the load for a team. And this is a team that wants to have a primary back. I think they're going to draft him. And at 24, what you're really kind of representing is that late in the first round, you're ensuring that you get the guy that you want, who probably won't be on the board at 55. That's kind of what the 24th pick turns into for the Steelers. They have lots of holes. There are lots of positions they could address, but I think overall running back, I think the best player of a significant position of need, of which there are a couple for the Steelers, I think that best player is going to be a running back. And I think that's the direction they're going to go.
Then what's the temptation on offensive line? Is there enough depth on the offensive line in this draft where they can go into rounds 2 and 3 and draft offensive linemen?
I think the bigger problem is I don't think there's enough depth on their offensive line to ignore it. Interesting side note that people don't seem to understand. The Steelers have not drafted an offensive tackle in the first round in 24 years.
Right.
That was Jermaine Stephens, mm-hmm. who oddly enough is only one of three players in that same amount of time that were drafted from a non-Power 5 school.
Right.
So you look at a very obvious trend in the Steelers of that time, which is largely, not entirely, but largely the Kevin Colbert era of drafting. They've wanted the big school guys, and they felt that they can develop tackles as well as cornerbacks. These are two positions they've mostly ignored in the first round for a very long time. I can't say that tackle is not a position of need, mostly because the guy they seem to be lining up to play left tackle played 14 snaps at right tackle last year and tore his ACL.
Right.
There are a lot of problems with that scenario.
Yeah.
And he's kind of the guy that they have. They're going to back him up with a rookie. So a second round tackle makes sense if they're going to stick with their kind of tried and true history of not drafting a tackle in the first. I think that position makes sense. But I don't know how. Those are two positions that they are likely going to need to be able to compete at least for a starting job this year or next year. I don't know how they can get away with not selecting one of those in a premium round. I don't think they have the scratch to trade up this year. I don't think they want to trade picks for next year. This isn't the year for them to trade up for a player, certainly not past the first round. For me, for my money, I think they're going to have to address the offensive tackle position in the sense that we want a guy that can make Zach Banner expendable next year. Mm-hmm. We want a guy that can challenge Chuck Okorafor for a job this year and make losing him next year okay. They have to get that guy now, in my opinion. But I said the exact same thing last year. They still didn't do it. So I don't know. They handle their tackle position without fear. I mean, they really don't seem to mind losing any of the players that they have, because when you lose Calvin Beecham, you find Alejandro Villanueva, even the guy that they had been developing for how many other years. Ramon Foster retires. You have Matt Filer kicked inside after Matt Filer replaced, was it Chris Hubbard at that point,
yeah,
or Marcus Gilbert, or both? They're finding guys from all depths of the draft, with the exception of the first round, to play on the outside. And by and large, they're getting good players on the interior. We've seen that the high level guys get replaced by lesser known guys who have been developed by them for a couple of years. At some point, though, they need to get a starting level tackle that's cheap. They're not going to be able to buy every position next year, even if that's kind of what they're right now, what they're representing their plan is. So it's a tough situation. They have more needs than they have premium picks, so they're going to have to knock a few out of the park. And they're probably going to have to make a lot of the guys that they have now who aren't very good a lot better.
What was your take on the Athletic story about Howie Roseman and the Eagles? I mean, it probably made Washington football fans feel better, about about their ownership because they never feel good about them. So they could at least look at the Eagles' ownership.
Crazy. It wasn't too long ago Howie Roseman was being carried around on Philadelphia's shoulders. I mean, he put together a Super Bowl champion winning team. And I understand that the issues that have come up as far as their roster goes, it hasn't worked out as far as, you know, repeating as champion or getting back to that. But there are a lot of things that come with it. It's not easy to repeat in this league. Everyone's going to say up and down right now, Kansas City and Tampa Bay are the two best teams in football. Well, we know that. Free agency, the draft, progression, wear and tear, all those things come into play. A guy like Roseman shot for the moon, and he hit it once, and he has missed fairly badly ever since then. I get overall what the angst is toward the team, but they're not in a terrible position either. We've talked about this. The salary cap is not as much a level of deterrence as people want to make it out to be. And it's kind of a problem this year. And this is a year in which the cap probably should be at 210, 215, and it's at 185 because of a global pandemic. That became a problem for some teams. I think Philadelphia was one of them. Mm-hmm. That said, it's a one-year blip. Every team sort of has that, unless you're Darth Belichick. You haven't planned out for this eventuality and found a way to kind of circumvent the process and cut out half of the market to be able to buy all the free agents for 1 year. Remains to be seen how well that's going to work out for them. But I don't think Philadelphia's in a bad spot overall. I like Jalen Hurts. I still think they're in a position to potentially get a good quarterback. I think there's going to be one there for them should they want to do that. But, you know, this is part of the NFL. You know, you have to build a roster every single year. You don't get, no matter how, you know, quote unquote good at the cap you are, it matters with the players you have year in and year out. There's no guarantee what they're going to be like in 3 years. So okay, you have to make with it what you have.
Then what is the dynamic that makes Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin work?
My opinion, it's because they stick to a certain philosophy and they're not going to overspend in a year that the opportunity is not there. That has to come for them to do it. Point in fact, Minkah Fitzpatrick is the only guy they've ever traded a first-round pick for under Colbert. There's a reason they did that. It looked like pretty solid bet that the value of the pick they gave up is going to diminish greatly when they get a player like this on the field. Without it, then that pick is probably going to be a lot higher than it would have been otherwise. If Minkah Fitzpatrick wasn't on that team, they wouldn't have won five games. They were brutal, and he scored half their points for them. Right. I mean, as messed up as it was, they needed him, and they made the move. So when the opportunity was there, they'll take it. Ryan Shazier gets paralyzed. Ryan Shazier was a step away from a five-year contract extension. Right. He was going to be the foundation of their defense moving forward. He gets paralyzed. They don't have a linebacker. Not only do they not have Ryan Shazier, they're trotting Sean Spence out there for playoff games.
That's
Sean Spence didn't play for 3 months.
Right.
They had to put him out there against a running team in the playoffs, and they got the pants beat off of him. So really, you look at the opportunity then to trade up to get Devin Bush, who is a pretty legitimate prospect. I mean, I was probably more into Devin White than Devin Bush, but you can see where that's going. But Devin Bush is an excellent player. He's done really well. I think he's better than Shazier was at this point in his career. So they needed to make a move. They made the move. You put all of those together, and they have a run of very atypical Steelers drafts. But they're coming to the other side of it. I think this is kind of the year where they're going to have to pay the piper a little bit. But they're in a good position moving forward because they've planned all this out, and they've stuck true to what they do and to a formula that works. The counter to that is, well, when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, slinging at the best he ever has in his career, that makes up for a lot of sins. And I guess we'll find out, you know, sooner rather than later, how much that's covered up everything. And if that's not just simply what the answer is, when you have that good of a quarterback, you know, you can make mistakes and they get covered up very easily. You have to do a lot to not be good if you have a good quarterback. I think that is largely true across the NFL. And maybe the Eagles just didn't have the quarterback play that they needed to justify a roster that got old really, really fast. You know, it's more the Steelers' ability to hang on to what they need to hang on to let go of what they don't and do the best with what they have. and the results have been, we tend to not look at championships if you evaluate a team over a 10, 20 year period. Over 20 years, they've done great. Over five, no, the fans are pretty upset about it, most things that are going on. And bad news for them, they're not going to win it this year either. So it might not be all that great on a year-to-year basis, but they consistently compete for playoff spots. And from there, who knows what might happen. We'll see. I think that the best job Kevin Colbert is going to do in his career is going to be over these next 2 years. And I think he's probably going to retire after that. Next year is so up in the air, which is definitely not Steeler-like. Maybe the plan is he's going to let go next year. I don't know. But they don't have half a roster signed. They didn't sign any free agents to longer than one-year deals with essentially team options for second years. I don't know the direction they're trying to go in right now. All of this is very different for them. So up to this point, I think they've done a great job kind of trying to keep things on an even keel for what they normally do. And they've had a couple breaks, they've had a couple setbacks, but generally speaking, they've more or less competed, not at the highest level, but only one team. It used to be one team. Now it's really only one quarterback that seems to win championships everywhere he goes. So I don't know how poorly the Steelers have done in reference to 30 other teams most years in the last 20.
Well, you're always focused and locked in, sir. Thank you so much. Appreciate it very much. As always, you are the man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. You guys have a good one.